You are now listening to
Chakras and Shotguns. Welcome back to Chakras and Shotguns, episode 51. I'm Jen.
And I'm Mick. Welcome back. How are you doing?
We got the bid, y'all. They got us.
Yeah. Finally, after ducking and dodging about two years and change. COVID got it. But we out here like Kanye, you know what I mean? Through the Rona.
Oh, you love a Kanye reference. You gotta leave Kanye behind.
I miss the old Kanye. You know what I'm saying? It's my Gemini brother. But now we out here spitting through the Rona on the mic.
Lord Jesus.
Luckily, we didn't have a serious case. We both had pretty mild symptoms. We were able to kind of push through. It was just a lot with having the kids home all week.
Yeah. The gag is we've been so conservative because our kids are so small and we think they brought it home.
Mm-hmm.
And they were chilling.
Exactly. They were fine.
So we're somehow finding the bright side of COVID in a way, but it still was very shitty timing because we have a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh my gosh. But yeah.
We also got the opportunity to go to Miami.
If you saw us on Instagram, we was posting.
Kicking it. Probably,
posted up.
Probably shedding virus the whole time. But, Lord. You know, we ain't know.
Lord have mercy. But it was so fun. We had really good food. We got to sit on the beach for a while. Mama got a little tan. Was out here, you know, eating Mediterranean eats and tacos and...
Yeah, it was just good to get away, even though it was only a couple of days. I feel like we just needed a break. Like, it just...
Yeah, we got the break, and then we got back, and it was like, ha-ha, right back in it with COVID. Welcome home. So, I guess we're going to be out here with these antibodies, child. We might do a little bit more moving and shaking.
Yeah,
Especially since the kids got the antibodies.
They straight, so I'm not worried no more. I'm out here. All right, you want to do some breath work?
Yeah, let's get into it. Our energy seems real down. We trying, y'all. Okay, today's theme for the breathwork, since I'm taking it, is going to be trust. I don't know if I did this last time, but hell, we doing it again because trust is a must.
All right.
And... we're going to get into it on another episode. There's like so much we have to cover today that I don't have time to get into it. But basically, I have realized that the depths of corporate gaslighting have a basement flow. And I had not explored that floor. And I explored it today. And I knew I should have trusted my first instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we're going to be honoring ourselves and our gut and our intuition that keeps us protected or tries to if we listen to it. All right, find a comfortable seat or just get comfortable in your body. And we're going to take three deep cleansing breaths together. Inhale in through your nose, expanding your belly. And why don't you go ahead and put your right hand on your belly? As you get to the top of that inhale, let's sigh our exhale out through the mouth. Let's do that again. Inhale in through your nose, feeling your hand go outwards. If you're laying down, go upwards as you expand your belly. And exhale that breath out through your mouth. Last one, inhale in through your nose. see where you're holding. Are you just feeling your chest? Does your chest feel tight? Where can you release some tension? And we're going to close our mouth and exhale this breath out through the nose. I want you to keep your hand on your belly as you inhale and exhale. And just express gratitude. From a physical standpoint, this is your core. They're always going on and on about strengthening your core, but it is important. It sets you up, gives you strength, holds you up. The stronger your core is, straighter you feel, the better your posture can be. But from a spiritual standpoint, your belly, your gut, that gut instinct, that intuition, all of these concepts that we talk about is in that general area. And it's what guides you. Your intuition is there to keep you safe from the caveman primal fears, as well as the other boogeymen that we deal with in the 21st century. So continue to feel gratitude. Maybe try to spend some time with that energy, being quiet, encouraging it to guide you. And get more familiar with that. I want to finish the breath work by just expressing out loud, I am grateful for the intuition that guides and protects me. All right.
Good job on that one, Jen. I really appreciated that one. You ready to talk about our guest for today?
Yes. I mean, I would introduce our guest for this episode, but I feel like the whole like preamble, prologue.
Yes, yes.
Intro, like.
I got it.
This is your story. So why don't you kick it off?
So I'm going to preface this by saying when we started Chakras and Shotguns, I didn't really imagine a space where we would be talking about voodoo. I think growing up, it was something that I was kind of scared of, like, right? Like, there's a lot of just, I guess, projection on the tradition to where people, you know, how it's categorized in the media is very scary. Mm-hmm. Boogeyman, you know, don't mess with nobody who does voodoo because it may put something on you, voodoo dolls, all those things, right? And so it wasn't top of mind when I was thinking about topics for Chakras and Shotguns. But lo and behold, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before, but part of my clairvoyant gift is actually something that Melanie Esperon and I both share, is that we will sometimes get messages through license plates. Well, in December, I was in the drive-thru at a Starbucks, and I saw a license plate that read LWAE51. And I knew right away when I saw it, that the Loa, or spirits as they're called in the Haitian voodoo tradition, needed to be a subject of episode 51. And so here we are in episode 51, talking to someone who is a practitioner of Haitian voodoo and works with the Loa.
So Mick comes home, he tells me this, hey, episode 51 is going to be about voodoo. And so we have to find somebody who practices voodoo. And I was like, what? We don't know nobody like that. So I'm digging through, you know, I follow some hoodoo conjurers, which we'll have to have an episode on that as well. But I follow some hoodoo conjurers. And so I'm kind of trying to dig through them, or just like really just kind of pay attention to who they're retweeting, thinking that maybe something will just naturally pop up. Mind you, it's December. I don't know what episode we were on with at that point. I'm like, oh, I got time. Yeah. So I'll just see what's going on.
I think we're in like the 20s or 30s at that point, right?
Yeah. And then more time is passing, more time is passing. And every now and then it's like, have you found a Haitian voodoo practitioner yet? No. Have you? No. So, I mean, it's ticking down. Like, we're lining up guests. We're like, oh, Shauna's going to be episode 48.
Yeah.
This is going to be episode... I was like, well, when we go... We have like 2 weeks. Like, when are we going to find her? And so this kind of like late night ritual lately for the past few weeks is like we get in the bed and we get on TikTok. And I get on TikTok until that little woman comes on that's like from TikTok and was like, you've been scrolling a lot. It's time to go to bed.
I still have not found this mystical woman. Like, she always popping up on Jen's phone. I've not gotten there yet.
I think it's quantity of videos, because if you don't catch me in the first 5 seconds, I'll zoop, zoop right off that, right off your face. But I was on TikTok and there was this video of this man in Haiti turning into a vampire. And so people were sending this person this video saying, is this real or fake? And it was Priestess Rose, who we'll introduce in a moment. And I was like, oh my gosh, this Haitian voodoo priestess just popped up on my timeline. Let's reach out. So we reach out, and it's tricky because on TikTok, if they're not following you, your message, it goes into the ether, baby. Mm-hmm. So like, she wasn't following us, so I followed her. Then, look, I'll find you, okay? They need to have me on a guest spot for Catfish, because I will find you. And so I found her Instagram. I found multiple Instagrams. I was like, oh, she got scammers. So which one is the right one? We find her. We write her this message. And of course, we're the message, because I'm like, I don't want to sound like a crazy person. And so the message is like, hey, girl, my husband got a download off a license plate. We're supposed to talk about the La Wild. We got this podcast. You want to be on it? And then we're kind of in this waiting period. Like, is she going to respond? Did she get the message? Did we write the scammer? All right.
Do we got to go find a backup? Like, I don't know. We don't know nobody else.
And so it's like, it was very interesting, because it's like, the message was very clear, episode 51. And me and Mick are like, we running out of time. TikTok. So Mick's like, all right, she got an Etsy shop. So he goes on the Etsy shop. She gives readings. Mick's like, all right, I signed up for a reading. So I'm going to get a reading. I paid for it. He's like, I paid $35. So I'm going to get up a reading. And at the end, I'm be like, look, we messaged you. We got this podcast. You want to be on it. But somehow in all of that, she messaged us back on Instagram. We coordinated it. Great. Oh, my gosh. Down to the wire. We're going to have this interview. Fantastic. Fast forward. The Friday before the interview, her house burns down. I'm like, I'm not going to hold her to this appointment. Like,
yeah, we're in Miami by this point. And I look over at Jen and I'm like, yo, our interview for next week, like, her house burned down. She lost everything. Her and her family are okay. But I mean, I don't know if she got a computer to be able to, like, talk to us on the internet. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. And then, of course, it's like, where's your headspace? Go do what you need to do. But she was, I mean... Fantastic was like, hey, no, I really, really want to do this. We're like, all right, cool. We get home. Mick's got a little, he said, you know what? I don't want to wear, usually we wear a mask. If we go somewhere, we wear a mask around the kids for a few days. Mick's like, I don't really want to wear a mask. I'm just going to take a test. And it's 2 lines. Like, we about to have a baby.
So you got it.
And so I'm like, well, we got COVID. Shit. And the kids are home.
Yep.
When are we going to record? So we were just like, I don't know. But then she wanted to do it. We're like, well, let's see if she can reschedule. Can she do it at night after the kids go down? We still reschedule. We're trying to sell our house because we're moving to California. We got showings and all kinds of stuff going on. But still, it all worked out. And it's episode 51. We're getting into voodoo. We're talking about the Loa. And I mean, Mick, what was the lesson you got out of this?
I mean, for me, it was like, look, if spirit says it's going to happen, it's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you may not see the way forward. You may not see the picture and how it's all going to come into focus. But as long as you stay faithful, you know, we didn't just give up, right? We were like, we're going to do our part. You know, we need the other things to kind of fall into place. And they did.
Yeah. I felt that when you got that message. And you know what? I actually saw a tweet about this. It said, a message in the wrong season will sound like a lie. And I don't think we were like, oh, we're not going to have that episode. But December to June, like that was 6 months early. And, you know, even we were just kind of like, that seems so far ahead. I'm not thinking about that. I'm just trying to get through New Year's. Like, we're one step at a time. And so it was in that season, it didn't seem like a lie, but it was just like, I mean, I guess. And then even in like late May, early June, yeah, it was feeling like a lie because I was like, it's a lot of stuff happening, y'all. I'm not fighting it. I'm going with the flow, but the flow is looking a little janky. Do you think we're still going to end up where we're supposed to be? And yeah, I mean, watching that happen was really beautiful, though. I guess I hope that I'm articulating this well enough, because watching it still get to where it was going to get to, it was like, okay, so it was just predestined. And there was absolutely nothing that we could do or anybody else could do to change that. COVID couldn't change it. A fire couldn't change it.
All right. So without further ado, I'll jump into the intro. Our guest today is High Priestess Rose. She's a native of Tomaso, Haiti. She has been healing others for over 20 years and really has an incredible story. She comes from a long line of practitioners. Her family has deep connections to the spiritual world. For her, growing up, being surrounded by the mystical and the magical was really just normal. At 3 years old, though, she actually died and was dead for over 24 hours. She says she breathed again at the same moment when a shooting light in the shape of a coffin fell from the sky and burned the hay roof of her house. At the age of 10, she found her true calling as a warrior, helper, and healer. She uses her gifts to help her clients attain success, love, and protection. In her words, what is life if we're not truly happy?
All right, let's go. Rose, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Can you tell us about your background, where you're from, how you entered into this journey?
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. This is a pleasure to be speaking with you guys here today. So I was actually born in a smallish town in Haiti. When I was born, everything was kind of already, you know, established. I already knew that everybody in our family practiced this stuff. It was pretty much normal for me. Like, coming in here, I just thought this is what everybody did. In our town, everybody, like, knew about us, knew about it. And just, you know, there were, like, more families that practiced than families that didn't practice. So this is what we knew.
Got it. So in that environment, does everyone who practices get initiated at a certain age, or what's that process look like?
Yeah, so not necessarily. A lot of the times, we usually get initiated in our 20s, because a lot of the times, the elders, they'll kind of like see you develop. They'll see like where your head is at and if you are really serious about this, because even if you are born in the practice where you're born all around it and you're going to ceremonies, you're participating, you're assisting, it does not mean that an elder will choose to initiate you and pass down the practice where you are a priest or a priestess, you know, a mabo or uga. So they choose the people they initiate really carefully, and that's by kind of watching them grow. By the time, like, you know, you're in your 20s, you're pretty much considered a full adult. You're in your natural character, where that's how you're going to stay throughout your life. So there are different levels. Like, to initiation, there's levels. So, like, the first initiation, what you want to do first is get your head washed. You're establishing, you're saying, okay, like, you get your reading, you're saying, okay, this is your spirit. We know this is the spirit that walks with you, that's the closest to you. You may have several spirits that dance in your head that, you know, you could be mounted by. But there's always one spirit that's, I always say, that you vibe with the most, that's more connecting. So that spirit is what you call, like, people call your metet, what pretty much holds your head. So that spirit, you through your head washing. That will be, you know, you'll be told that that's your spirit. And then you'll know all the things that you should do, how to speak to that spirit, to honor that spirit, to build that connection. So that's like the first level of initiation, where it's a more like a softer thing. You're basically, you got the foundation. And then you'll go under another initiation. That initiation is a more serious initiation. You'll go into a space. That's how I tell people who don't quite understand the space. We call it a jevon, but people who don't really understand, just it's the space that you go into. And then while you're in there, everything that happens in there, you never talk about that experience. That's when you either become, if you're going to go in and you're going to go in with, you know, very little training, you'll become a ancien consul. When you're an ancien consul, basically you're a priest in training, or a priestess in training, you could say. After you become an ancien consul, you can work with your elders and they'll decide, like, are you worthy? And your elders also include, you have to speak with their spirits, the elder spirits, your spirit, and then like just everybody else will pretty much be the judge of like, are you worthy of becoming, you know, a high priestess, a mumble? And then you go under another initiation to become a mumble or uga.
As you were talking about it, I think a couple of things came to mind. I know in a lot of kind of quote unquote new age spirituality, they'll talk about this idea of having a spirit team. A team of spirits that walk with you, and then having like a spirit guide. So kind of as you were talking about the different spirits that will be attached to a person as they go through this process, it sounds very similar to that concept. And then also, I think the question that came up for me is around who is like eligible to go through this process. Do you have to be of Haitian descent? What is required there in order to go through that process?
Yes, of course. I'll start with the spirit team. A lot of the times, people don't really look at it as if they can have like an infinite amount of spirits really that are on their team. I always tell people, don't want for you to just have like one spirit. Because even if you are a person who's like, okay, I love Ezili Fuida, for example. She's a great spirit. I love her. She's the goddess of love and beauty. And you're going through this practice, what people don't understand is that when it's time to fight, when you need to protect yourself, you're not going to go to the loi of love and beauty to fight battles. You want to go to Ogun Ferai, who's known to fight battles. So, of course, you want to have strong spirits. You want to have spirits that are nature. You want to have love. You want to have all these spirits on your team because life is not just black and white. When it comes to like who's eligible, the truth is, and this is a very sensitive topic, the truth is like anybody could be eligible. It really does depend on the person that you are. Like it does depend on what's really in your heart, your intentions. Like the elders will, you'll bring a person to the elders to be initiated. You're like, oh, you'll come and say, I want to be initiated. They won't just go off and be like, okay, I'm going to just initiate you because you want to. And it doesn't matter that, you know, like the color of your skin, your ethnicity or anything like that. They're going to look at you like, okay, if you are a person who is not, you know, of Haitian descent, if you are a person who is not, you know, a POC plus, or just like you're not black, they're going to look at like, okay, how are you with our people? Because this is our practice. This is our roots. But like, how are you as a person who's outside of our culture? Like, are you a person who's looking to gain this power, this be in this practice to use it against us? They're going to be able to test you to see that. Are you a person who just wants this for the, you know, for the aesthetics, as they say? Are you just, you're just looking for power? You just think it's cool. You like it because you know a little bit about it. Like, how deep are you into it? So they'll do readings on you for that. They'll have meetings. They'll talk. They talk about you all the time. And they call the spirits. And the spirits will judge you. They'll come down and they'll give you, they'll tell you their stuff. They'll give you the messages. They'll tell you like either are you good to be initiated? And there are times where a person is really thirsty to be initiated. And even if there are a priest or priestess will initiate them, they don't give them the proper initiation because they know that this person is not going to use it for the right thing. So you are allowed, anybody is, like, you know, especially if you are a person who's black, whatever, you know, background that you have, this is yours by right, by birth. This is your birthright. This is your roots. Because we are the same people that came from Benin, West Africa. We are the same people. We didn't completely create a whole new practice. It was really added on to, you know, like when we're dealing with the indigenous people that were down in Hispaniola before we came. And then with their, you know, the Arawaks, their culture mixed into that. But it wasn't just kind of like something that's completely new. It was just was added. Another layer was added to it. So that's why it's Haitian voodoo. But at the end of the day, what people don't really realize and what they don't talk about is those same spirits, the loa, those spirits. And I mostly refer to them as spirits because they're so much more. They're not just loa. They are spirits in general. We have over 1,000 spirits. And a lot of them came from West Africa. Yes, there are some spirits who are Haitian spirits, you know, what is now Haiti, who are of like the indigenous people, the Taino people. Those are our spirits as well. But there's also so many spirits that we came with from West Africa that we brought with us.
One question I had for you, and you mentioned it a little bit, is it vodun or voodoo? What's the appropriate way to address the faith and practices?
Yeah, so it's vodun.
Okay. And so where do we get the term voodoo from? What is, like, is that just a European thing, or like how did that term come into use?
Definitely a European thing. I think it was basically, it was just easier to say voodoo, and there is so many different ways. Like with Haitian people, it's so funny how like you can't really spell things wrong in Haitian Creole, and so like we spell things differently, like so many different ways for the same word, as long as you understand. So I think it was more like easier for them to say voodoo than it was to say vodun, because there is an accent when you say vodun.
I got you. I know in pop culture, there are a lot of misconceptions about voodoo. We know that voodoo, as you mentioned, I'm guilty of using the European terminology there. I know that Europeans a lot of times have put a lot of negative stereotypes on the practices. I kind of want to take some time and just kind of clear up some of those misconceptions and have you tell us what is vodun and what is it not?
Yeah, of course. So for voodoo is basically being able to tap into a different energy, like reaching into a different source. It originally was supposed to be like you would get knowledge from spirits, from older ancient spirits, people that came way before us. So if you were to like have a sick child, there were, you know, you had no doctors, you had none of those things that we have today, modern medicine. You would receive, like, there would be chosen people who were connected, who would receive these messages from the spirits, and they will tell them exactly what herbs to use, spices, trees, or which waters to mix. Like, if you have to get river water, if you have to get ocean water. So all of that kind of stuff. And then they'll tell you, like, what you're supposed to do with it. So voodoo is kind of like being able to tap into this energy and being connected enough to the spirits to have knowledge to make your life better. We're living in this life where sometimes it can be very difficult and we have no control over things. Voodoo kind of gives you back like that control. It's like it's a layer that we didn't know is there, and we can reach into that layer. You can use that source of energy to do good, to do bad. So yes, there is a lot of people who do bad. But it's energy. It's like an unlimited supply of energy. And we can reach in that and use that energy. And that energy is like basically you can morph it. You can turn it into whatever you need to turn it into to do whatever it is that you need to do, as long as you're, you know, very well connected with the spirits.
Yeah, that actually goes right into my next question perfectly about how the Loa have connections to other African practices and Christianity. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about that, as well as, I guess, how your belief in God matches or doesn't match up with Christianity as well.
So the African spirits, like as I mentioned before, when we left West Africa, we brought with us all the spirits that we had. So a lot of those spirits that we have are the same exact spirits. There are some spirits that don't jump water. So there are some spirits that are like, you know, they stayed in the land, and a lot of them are lost because there were nobody to pick that up. And then we picked up more spirits when we came to Haiti. And those spirits are spirits also that can that can jump water, so they can travel. So that is that connection. It's the same African spirits. They're the same. Then, of course, we added on to that. And then with Haitian culture, the Haitian population is actually 90% Catholic. And they say it's like, oh, like 10% or so that practice that are Vodouism. And that's just like the surface thing. That's kind of like when you're like, oh, people say I'm Catholic, but they still practice like Vodou. Like for me, we're considered Roman Catholic. I don't follow like the church or anything like in the Catholic Church or anything like that. But like I was baptized. I had my first communion like that, like on my own. And it was just mostly because of respect for my parents. And then I just kind of understood God a little differently. And I knew that it was no harm. So we hide our spirits behind the Catholic saints. And the reason for that is because of colonization. Like the practice was completely demonized. You know, they were down there with us and they're seeing us doing our practice. They knew what we could do. So we had to hide it in order to keep practicing what we needed to keep practicing. We had to basically say these spirits like Ezili Danto. We had to say this spirit is this saint. We're not praying or we're not honoring this particular spirit that we came from West Africa. If we're actually honoring this saint, so therefore they left this alone because they were like, oh, okay, so it is a Catholic practice, we mask it, and they left us alone. All the spirits, you know, a majority of the spirits have like a saint that like basically attached to it. So the saint photos and the images of the saint are like beacons now. They're beacons, they're placeholders for the spirits. And a lot of the saints actually, ironically, were created out of the spirits that we've already had. Colonizers went down and they studied our practices, they studied our culture, but they had taken it for them as if like, no, we have renamed them and this is our saints. And we said, why does it even matter when it came from us anyways? If we're saying we're okay, we're praying to the saint, then you would leave us alone. We'll just go ahead and take your way. So the connection is not so deep, but it's not so like far apart, because for us, we weren't like told, oh, this is there's a God. We knew that there was a God, because a God for us is this huge, massive energy. Like it's a spirit unlike any other spirit. You could say he's like the king of all spirits, of all energy. It's not like how they describe, like, you know, him being a man or having any gender of any sort, or being something that you can't even comprehend. It's this huge, massive energy that just nothing else above this massive energy. That was always a God to us. So we had no problem with them kind of going like, okay, well, there's a God, and then like, you should honor this God. We were already honoring that God. The only difference is really like what they said that the God approved of and didn't approve of. Like, oh, they're like, oh, you know, doing voodoo is evil and doing magic in general is evil. That kind of stuff, where we're like, all right, well, you know, you didn't tell us about God. If anything, we told you about nature. We told you about like spirituality. So if you want us to pretend that, we'll pretend that, because we already knew there is no harm. It doesn't make our religion weak, our practice weaker, if we are, you know, like even praying to God. So when we pray to God, we are very open about it. Like we're not just kind of like, oh, I'm a sinner. You know, even those who would go in and do things that are, you know, would be frowned upon. They don't go like, oh, forgive me, God, like I'm a sinner. They know like another human can't judge them. They know that the way that they say God will judge you, they don't judge you like that. They understand that. So we said, okay, you know, hallelujah, amen. And just still kept our practice, because we were just going by what the colonizers wanted for us. But if we could still practice our practice, we just did it.
I love that. I think something I'm picking up from not only what you've been saying, Rose, but as I've learned more about Indigenous and African traditional religion, is there's this undercurrent of it is what it is. like your connection with nature, your connection with energy. It doesn't need to be put in a box or quantified. We don't need to put it in a category, which I feel like is very overwhelming for people who are going on a spiritual journey and they're trying to learn, like they're trying to learn everything, especially if it's like Western culture, right? They're like, okay, I'm going to get a book. We always make fun of ourselves because we're like, we're going to buy all the books. We're going to learn all the things. And then the deeper I get into it, the more I'm like, just let it be, let it flow through it. It makes me think a lot about masculine and feminine energy, which also led me to this question that I had for you about priests and priestesses in Vodun. Was there ever really any type of patriarchy or gatekeeping for women, or has it always been in the history of the religion, you know, come as you are, if you have this strong spirit and desire to be initiated, you can, no matter what your gender is? I'd love to hear about that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So very important in for people to understand in Vodun, like there is no like men and women in whatever you are, we're equals. Like there is Mambo Kaila has as much respect as the Uga. Like if anything, people love Mambo, the person who is the priestess of the house who owns the temple would be called Mambo Kaila, or the person who's next in line to be basically in charge of initiating everybody. They often look at the women. A lot of the time you'll see like masculine energy is kind of like, you're like, oh, the man is more powerful. But no, in Vodun, like if you're looking at a priestess who's a Mambo Kaila, they're that for a reason, because they have this energy where like they make the temple hot. Like when they're singing and they're dancing and they're moving their dress around and their attitude and the force and the power, like that will make any Uga, no matter how powerful you are, step back. And then a lot of the times, it's not even like, oh, who's more stronger? If you have like a priest who basically is the head and you have a priestess, they're side by side. Their energy matches and they respect each other. And there's no one who's above another person. Like Vodun is very accepting of like just no matter who you are, like men, women, trans, gay, it does not matter. Like it just welcomes everything. It knew all of this stuff even before it was as popular as it is today. That was always something that was accepted. Like growing up in Haiti and going to ceremonies, like, you know, a gay person, a lesbian person being invited to a ceremony is a must. Like that was always accepted in Vodun. Even if no other practice, no other event welcomed them, they were always welcome. Like that energy was always, always welcome.
Love it. I love that inclusivity. One of the things that you talked about a little bit earlier was the incorporation of the African spirits. And we see that in some other forms of African American spiritual work that has influences with the indigenous folks here in America. And folks typically call that hoodoo. And so I just wanted to see in my like research, I haven't really been able to find a good like separation between Vodun and hoodoo. Like, can you kind of just clarify the differences there?
Yeah, it is really interesting, because when you think about a lot of times people, well, you know, you'll hear hoodoo, they use the Bible, they use herbs. There are people that say that they work with the ancestors. The thing is, all of that stuff is within Vodun. The thing is, people want to separate Vodun as if it's its own thing, but Vodun really just means spirits. Like it's spirituality. It's all types. Like all of this is all part of it. There are branches. I always tell people you have to think about it as one tree that grew. It grew in a backyard in West Africa, that one tree, a long, long time ago, and it started to branch out. And it branched out and all its fruits started falling all over the world. And those fruits that fall, that became these other things, they're still fruits from the same exact tree. It's all part of the same thing.
Let's get into, I don't, I'm going to say creepy, because I'm just saying on TV and movies, this is how they try and make it seem. But voodoo dolls, is that real, or as the kids say, is that cap?
So the movies, they add a layer of dramatic to a lot of things, but some stuff are still sort of kind of accurate. Voodoo dolls is a thing. the way that you look when you think about voodoo, and the first thing you'll see when you search voodoo is like you'll get voodoo dolls. It's not really, you know, all like that. Like, you can use voodoo dolls for certain things, but if you wanted to do whatever it is that you wanted to do to a person, you don't necessarily even have to use like a voodoo doll. That whole concept of like taking a voodoo doll and making it in somebody's name, putting pins and needles in them, and then like, you know, having them suffer the pain that you're doing to the doll. It's like, it's so much deeper than that. Like, you can use a voodoo doll to do so much more things to the person, like to bind the two people together. That's like one of the most popular things. You can use it as a close placeholder. So you can put part of your soul in a voodoo doll. And if there were attacks, the voodoo doll would then absorb the attack instead of you. You can, you know, have it hold somebody else's soul. But you can also do that with other things. Like, it's just how easy it is the real question. Like, it's not as easy as they make it seem like. It's definitely a more complicated process, but it is a thing that people do. You have to remember, like, in this practice, there's a lot of like messed up stuff, like human nature. Like, people do good and people do bad, so they do use voodoo dolls to harm other people, but it's not the center of voodoo. It's really not. But a lot of times people use voodoo dolls to do spells like love, to bind, and that's the thing that you never really see, but that's the most popular thing that a voodoo doll is used for.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the other work that you do? So why would people come and see you to have work done?
A lot of people like come because they're being attacked. Like, people are sending things to them and they want protection. They want to be cleansed. They never want this to happen to them. A lot of people, like, they want to get out of an abusive relationship. Like, if a person is constantly harassing them, the system is not helping them, like nothing is working, they'll come to us to push that person away. It's the work that we call, like, make them don't see you, push them away. That way, like, no matter what, like, if they had a problem where they have like an actual mental problem, whatever the reason is, we calm them down and they still keep whatever problem that they have, because that's not the working. But at the very least, we isolate the person who's the victim from them, from the person who's doing the harm. So a lot of people do work like that. They do work for courts. Black people who have legal problems and they know that they're being done wrong and the system is not helping them. They need extra kick to basically be in favor so they can see the judges. They can see the truth.
I actually had a question. I've seen this a little bit on TikTok. I've seen a couple mentions about it. But some people feel that love spells or workings, that it's unethical. And when I thought about it, I was like, what if I found out that Mick put a love spell on me and that's why I'm here today? I love him, but do I? Do you have people, ever ask you to like get them with someone?
That is our most popular spell. I can tell you for a fact, a person who talks like, oh, I don't do love spells, like, I don't bind people together, and they go like, oh, that's free will, I side-eye you. You can be legitimate. I'm not calling you a fraud or anything like that, but I side-eyed you because I feel like you are feeding to what is now the it thing, where people are like, oh, that's taking up the way free will, and people are like, oh, yeah, it is. Honey, if you're in spirituality, you're doing spells in general, you're tapping into that energy, you're reaching out, you're using that energy, you have already manipulated reality. It does not matter. If you are real, if you're a true practitioner, whatever it is that person needs from you, if you are a practitioner who's like me, who's Gine, which means we don't do harm, like we're not going to, you know, we're not going to unalive TikTok speech. We're not going to unalive somebody for you. No, that we won't do. Like, we don't harm children. We don't harm pregnant women. You know, we have a lot of things that we won't do. We do things that are considered justified. So that being said, we don't take away people's free will by doing a love working. I repeat, we do not take away people's free will by doing a love working. What a lot of people really want is, and that's the working that we do, we go in and we remind the soul. We don't speak to the person. The person that you are right now is not what your soul is. We go in, we speak to the soul, and we do the reading, and we find out, like, do this person really want to be with them? What is standing in the way? What is the block? A lot of the times, you wouldn't believe it, people don't even really want to break up. They do it because they're like, oh my gosh, like, my mom is telling me that I could find better. Or like, my friends are saying, I'm single, you should be single too. This guy is, you know, he ain't shit, or this girl is driving you crazy or she's crazy. People make puppets out of other people, if anything. So it's a little bit ironic. A lot of times their souls are meant to be together. Like, they want to be with each other. And that's when these works really work. So what we do is we remind them. We remind them, you fell in love with this person. Love it. Yes, it's chemical, but it is a real thing. Like, all these connections and all these years, you fell in love with this person. Is that love still there? And if that love is still there, are you willing to continue on that love? If we were to remove everything in your path that is causing you to make these decisions, that's clouding your judgment, would you be happy with this person? And if they're happy with them, we lead them back to that person. And then it's like a tug of war. If they're willing to just kind of like come to you, you have to do your part too. I always tell my clients, you cannot be in the wrong. You can't just be like, oh, I want this person to be obsessed with me, and I have been like a bad girlfriend. I have been a bad boyfriend. Like, no, because that love is not there the same. You know, it's just not the same. We're not making a mindless person who's just kind of like, oh, this is an obsession love or love spell, whatever was done to them. And they're going to just keep walking to them like a zombie. That's a whole different thing. And we don't do that in love work. And we just literally were like amplifying it. We're boosting it. We're reminding you of the good times. And if it was real, you will come back and you'll make it work. That's what a true love work is. It's not like a forced thing.
I want to talk a little bit about appropriation. Mm-hmm. I've seen you post on your TikTok. There, most recently, there was this video of this this European gentleman who was he put some Florida water in his mouth and did a spray on a young woman. You know what I'm talking about?
Why?
And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about like some of these instances that show up on the internet, right? People who are quote unquote playing with things they don't understand, even, you know, appropriating voodoo in some cases. What are your thoughts on that? And what are some of the dangers that people are potentially setting themselves up for?
So for appropriation, like, we know it's just dangerous for people to just think like, I can just do this because I see this. That whole monkey see, monkey do kind of thing. Like, that's what I call it. It is dangerous because a lot of people, like, they would go in and they're like, oh, I want to work with Alua, and like, oh, I've got a spell online or whatever, how to summon them. And they'll go and they'll like summon them, or they'll try to work with them. And they don't even understand that it is a balance. Like, you must give. And one of the things that I know for sure was part of the message of that fire is that it is time for me to go down there. They have worked with me and worked with me. It is time to go and give, because I have been taking a lot. And it's not for me, but it is, because I'm the one doing the work. But it's a balance. If you are just calling them and you don't even have anything, you're just like, hey, bud, just do this for me, or do that for me. And you're not even like having something there for them. You're not having a promise where you're like, okay, you know, like, you come down and you help me do this working, and then I will, you know, give you a goat, I'll give you a chicken or anything like that. Then they're going to be looking for something. A lot of the times people don't realize that the spirits, they don't harm you. Like, it's what you put out there. Like, if you are calling on them to do like what most people do, like to do a curse or something, or trying to hex somebody, that's what you're asking. You're asking for that negative energy, and they're going to go and do what you're telling them to do. They're not going to do it on their own. So that's why where you hear stories about like, oh, a spirit came and like, oh, somebody, the spirit killed somebody. It's like, no, they actually killed themselves, basically, because you are asking for that. If you're asking them to take a life and you don't know what you're doing, and you call them to take a life, and you don't know how to reach that life, that soul, you don't know how to reach, it's going to take you, because you have already summoned them to take a life. You owe them this. You made a promise, and they need to take something, so they'll take you. But this is because it's your, like, that's what you did. So when people are like kind of like appropriating, and they're just kind of like, they're making a mockery, and they're doing things all wrong, that kind of stuff makes the spirits mad. So that's why we always tell people, like, if you don't know what you're doing, like, it's better to just not do it. And like, I'll see people using all types of like veves, like sigils, and like just completely wrong. And they don't realize that's a beacon. Like, if you draw that down, you're summoning them. If you have this in your home and you don't know why you have it, you don't even know who it belongs to, you're summoning them. You're calling them, and you don't know that you're even calling them. So if you're just like, oh, I'm calling you, and you're not saying, oh, I'm calling you for help, for protection, and that, you know, you, like, a lot of times, like, obviously Vevas are on my product, but I have already, like, established, like, I want you to, whoever purchased these items, I want you to protect them. That's what they need it for. I want you to heal them. That's what I did. I already did that work for you. So that Veva, and when the spirit comes, when it's in your possession, when you hold that, when you touch that, when you talk to them, they're going to come for protection because I've already done that work for you. But if you're kind of like, just go out and you're drawing it and you're doing whatever that you're doing and with your own thing, and you're not even setting your own, you know, you guys call it intentions, then you're leaving them kind of like, well, what do I do? Like, okay, I guess I'll do anything.
Yeah, that made me think of this story. I heard it maybe a couple years ago. This woman wanted to get back at her ex and caught on Papa Legba. And this woman was not Haitian. And I know a Papa Legba, and this is going to sound terrible, please don't judge me, Rose, from American Horror Story Coven. And I was like, even I knew that you don't play with, this is like from a TV show. And I was like, you don't play with him. That's not what you do. So I can see how these things can turn back on you. And then we're reading about it in the newspaper, and it sounds like something straight out of like a spooky story. I guess I'm on the spooky shit today, because one of my last questions for you, and this is actually how I found you, or you found me, depending on how you think about how the TikTok algorithm works, I guess. You were commenting on a video, and it was a man, and it looks like he was turning himself into a vampire in real time. And I've heard about zombies in Haitian lore, and vampires as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. So circling back to, I don't know if I'm allowed to say her name, but Madame Rustin, circling back to that whole story, well, American Horror Story as well, is why I actually got on TikTok, because I was like, what is going on? When me and my family, like, I have an older TikTok where that's where I started. I started with Kat Rustin. In American Horror Story, and getting people to understand Papa Legba versus Baon Samedi. As soon as I said Baon Samedi, my light goes off. Okay. When we saw that story in the news, me and my sister and my mother, we laughed. Obviously, we didn't laugh at the tragedy. We didn't laugh like, oh, this stupid. No. We laughed because we're like, BS. You don't know what you summoned, and you did not summon Aloha. And the reason for that is, when they come down, you wouldn't be able to just summon a law like that. No spell on wherever is going to have no Uga, no Mumble wrote down for the internet to know how to summon a law. Absolutely not. So when we saw that, it was like, oh, the spirit came, and then the spirit just like killed her. We already knew. And they were like, oh, she passed away in the bathtub. None of that really matched up. She was having nightmares and she was seeing it. Like, if anything was going to happen to you, it would be instant. Not some low-level ghostly spirits that are, like, going to haunt you. Like, if something's going to happen to you, you're going to fall, like, nobody would know what happened to you. It would just be, like, done. Like, you would not be able to be like, oh, it was probably like that. It was bound something. So we knew, like, no. Then it was the bathtub. And we're like, absolutely not. We said, if you had said it was a different spirit, like, if you said it was Agwe, if you said it was La Siren, if you said any water spirit, we would be like, okay. But these spirits have their territories. While they're not here to kill people, definitely not. If you use them in the wrong way and you drop. But that's not, like, that's not what their goal is. Like, especially there, this Papa Legba is not the spirit of, like, you know, killing a person. Baon Samedi could definitely take your life, because Baon's here, you ask him to take a life. And then Baon comes to claim a life and there's no life. I can see that. But in a bathtub is where you would say no. Like, you would just drop. Like, Baon's not going to cause you to drown. He's not a water spirit. He's not associated with water. And that's what we're like, no. And then, of course, there's the whole thing where American Horror Story was mixing them up. you know, their Papa Legba for Bawan Samdi. And we were just kind of like, wow, I needed to go on here and be like, okay, people, like, there's so much like misinformation on there, on the internet, all over the place about this practice. And it's our practice, it's our culture. So I went on as an educator. I was like, I was going to educate and let people know what Bawan Samdi is, like what Papa Legba is, the difference and how you can recognize them. And yeah, that's how that all took off. So the whole shape-shifting, witches, zombies, vampires, all of that stuff, let's just say in our world, it definitely exists. There are people who can turn into these things. Like there's many people, like my closest family included, like my grandfather was a master of that. There's some people like it's like a thing that was passed down to them while they were either a child, or like their parents would pass it down to them, or if they were like in their mother's stomach, if that's what the mother chose to do for them, or the mother could have been like a vampire, could have been like a werewolf and not pass it down to them, or they could make contracts. Like they can make a contract for power, for these abilities with, you know, with other forces, well, we'll say we'll differ with higher forces to obtain that power. And the way that the person would turn, half turn, shape shift is with sacred prayers and words. And I remember where I had, like, I didn't have much to say about the video. Like, it wasn't about, like, is this real or this video real or not? That is very real, though. Like, for a fact, that is very real. And a lot of the times, like, you want to pay attention to see how the person acts. And people are like, oh, he's blocking his mouth. And they're like, oh, he's blocking his mouth. That must mean he's putting. And if you really look at the video, you're like, where is he, this man, even putting on fake teeth? What people don't realize is, They don't want you to see what they utter. Like if they're muttering sacred words, they don't want you to see that, because they're sacred for a reason. And it's with the words that they speak that they transform. These things that only these people know, that's how they transform. So all of that is all that spooky stuff is very, very real. And it's so normal. Like when we're down like in Haiti and that kind of stuff, it's like, it's so normal. It's not like people are like walking around like fearing it. And they're like, oh my God, because nothing is going to happen to a person who's not involved. You know what I mean? Like you can walk around next to a person who's a vampire. They're not going to stalk you in the middle of the night and wait for you and drink your blood like Hollywood would suggest. You know what I mean? Like they don't just attack. You like, you could be friends with this person. They have their little thing or whatever, and whatever they do, they do. You don't even need to know what they do. But it doesn't even necessarily mean that they're out there just attacking people and like biting people and turning people into vampires and all that stuff. You don't turn people into a vampire by actually biting the neck. You bite their neck, you suck the blood out of their neck, and you take their life force, you drink their blood, but you don't turn them. Like a vampire is not going to turn a person into a vampire by biting them. It's the same way as a person would, your parents would turn you into a witch, because it's a power. And you give it to those that you actually like, you feel like deserve it. Like you wouldn't want to give that power to just anybody. Just like, oh, I'm gonna bite you and give you that power. No, you pass it down to your family.
So, are there any other things about the Hollywood vampires that are actually true? Like, do they live a long time, or like, do crosses affect them, or holy water, or any of that stuff, or is all that just made up?
Holy water actually is actually legitimate. Like holy water is really good. Like it really is good water. So it doesn't, you wouldn't say like holy water affects like all vampires. It affects evil in general. Like evil and holy water don't go. The cross, it's the same thing. Like if you put a cross and you put your really, really good prayers, you put, like you make a cross with the right intentions that you're supposed to make a cross with, and the right wood, which is why they never really tell you the cross like for protection needs to be a certain wood. And we all have these crosses above our doors, and people don't realize like a cross is not like, oh, Jesus died on a cross. A cross is the crossroads. It's the protection. It's a symbol of protection. It's before Jesus. So you make the cross with the correct wood, then yes, it wards off these evildoers. The sunlight thing, no, I don't even know where they got that sunlight thing from. So no. And living forever, no, that's not real.
Got it. So Rose, we ask this question to all of our guests. It's our bug out bag question. Beyond kind of items that you need for survival, can you tell us one unique item that you would absolutely have to have in your bug out bag?
Absolutely, my asson. The asson is a tool. It's a spirit. It's the tool that you use to call the spirit. As a mumble asson way, you receive your asson. It is like, I don't even know how to like say it in English, but it's like the things that they use kind of to use like the maracas, but not exactly. And it's just, it's beaded. It's got beads all over it and a bell attached to it. And that's the tool that we use to summon the spirits. That would be the one thing that I could not leave without 100%.
Nice.
Well, Rose, thank you so much for being on the show. And also thank you for being patient with me as I picked up all of my voodoo references from like trash TV shows.
Yeah, thank you so much again for joining us. And we really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure, an absolute pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed Priestess Rose and learning more about Vodun now that we know how to say it correctly. Pretty pissed that American Horror Story Coven, which was my favorite season, got parts of the practice so incredibly wrong. It's such a beautiful practice, and we're truly, truly honored that Rose joined us. I was talking to Mick after, and was just blown away after the interview about how the more I learn and study African traditional religions, indigenous religions, it's just really, really beautiful seeing how these practices and religions interact with the world that we can't see. And it's just very organic, and it is what it is, and it's natural. And I love it. I'm fascinated by it, but in a nerdy way, but in a just like, I'm so captivated by it. If you want to find Rose on the internet, we'll be sure to put all of these in the show notes, but you can find her on TikTok at Priestess RLS2, the number 2. You can find her on Instagram as at Priestess RLS. If you want to help her rebuild after her house fire, we included a link to her GoFundMe in the show notes as well. And she is down right now. Obviously, her inventory got ruined in the fire, but she does have an Etsy shop where she sells product as well as does readings. So we put a link to that shop as well, which hopefully will be back up soon. She said, don't count her out.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. As always, if you have a question, please email us at chakrasandshotguns@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to join our Chakras and Shotguns community, you can support us on Patreon. And finally, if you're loving the show, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen.
Namaste.